Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning. Welcome in to the Captain J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. Jake Cantu sitting in the EP chair. Jay Moore's at the controls. Hoodie's on vacation. Courtney Cronin is to my right. I'm David Kaplan. Courtney, the Chicago Bears dominate the news cycle. We've got the draft April the 27th. As of today, are you pleased with what they've done in free agency, or is it leaving you wanting more?
There's a lot of work to be done with this roster, which we knew. So when I am looking at this through an objective lens, I knew that free agency was not going to be the spend fest that everyone thought it might be, because you look at how much resources they have across the draft, across free agency. And granted, it's March 24th right now. We're still a month out and some change from actually getting to the NFL draft, where they have their 10 picks and all of the draft capital that they have between 1 and 64 that they helped their case with. And on, I believe it was March 8th when they traded the number one overall pick to Carolina. They handled a couple needs. There are a lot more that need to be filled on this roster. So am I satisfied with it? As somebody who covers the team, when you think, did they check the boxes of what they needed to do? Yes and no. They chose to go certain routes looking at value and positional value and financial value. And that's where we're at right now, where you have your linebacking core is set. Like, they don't need to touch that thing. They've got everything from their starters to their depth. They signed Dylan Cole yesterday. That's a special teamer who can fill, you know, the backup linebacker role. So if they sign another linebacker, I think my hair is going to fall out, because I'm tired of writing about linebackers at this point.
So if they said, with the 9th pick, the Chicago Bears select Nolan Smith, linebacker, Georgia.
I think that
you seen that guy's
yes,
numbers?
Yes, but I don't. I mean, can he rush the passer? Because you're going to have people rioting if he can't. But is he somebody that can do it on a consistent basis in this defense? Could he transition to be playing the edge rusher spot? If that's the case, okay. But I think right now you look at where the holes remain, and where Ryan Poles was very active in the first wave of free agency, mm-hmm. those first couple days before the league year actually opened, he checked boxes that he felt he needed to shore up a big part of the reason they were one of the worst run defenses, and overall in terms of scoring defense, why they were so bad. Big chunk plays that were allowed, and you didn't have anybody playing the off-ball linebacker position who could actually make those plays last year. You didn't see it enough with Roquan Smith, and you needed an upgrade from where you were with Nick Morrow. I understand all of that. I still am in the camp of, where is the pass rush coming from? Who's going to help the linebackers? Who's going to keep guys from getting to the second level and help these linebackers do their job at a high level? That's where the Bears need to turn their attention to now. But when you kind of take the temperature of this fan base, I think everybody wanted everything done in the first wave of free agency. They wanted to see you do all the things that they did, plus go get Javon Hargrave, plus go get Mike McGlinchey to play your right tackle spot, and do all of these things, spend all of the money right away. We know Ryan Poles well enough now to know that he's not somebody who does anything outside of a process-oriented, you know, execution. Mm-hmm. That is who he is. Think about his ties. He comes from Kansas City, where he was raised, in a way, in the Patriot system, because Scott Pioli came from there. That was the person who hired him to Kansas City. That's how Ryan Poles came up through the ranks. So anything Ryan Poles does is not going to be anything but process-oriented. Some people may not like the process right now, but it's playing out exactly how he expected it to, because there haven't been any sort of panic moves right now where you have a rot, where you're just trying to pull players in to fill holes on the roster. this is going to look in a way similar to how last year's free agency did after the first wave, where you're finding players who come here on a veteran minimum deal, who are here on short-term deals to prove it, that they can be part of what you're building going forward. Kind of like what we saw with Equanimeous St. Brown. I know that's a name people are like, why are you talking about him? He didn't do that much from a receiving standpoint, but think about all of the players they brought in last year in free agency, one-year deals, two-year deals max. There are only a couple that remain on this roster going forward, and they find those guys, say, all right, you proved yourself for 1 year. You can be part of what we're building, because what we're building is going to take time. And that's where the Bears are right now. They realize they have time not only to continue constructing this thing with the rank and file free agents, but time to continue building, because we have a month till the draft, and they've got a lot of good draft capital on day one and day two that they can now strategize how they want to use that.
So I've said this before. I was cross-talking with Carmen Yerk the last couple days when I was doing the afternoon show. Waddle and Sylvie were in the morning. I'm not underwhelmed what Poles has done, because I think I see what his plan is. I just think people are expecting, okay, we got ourselves DJ Moore. Here we go. We're going to win 10 games. I don't see that.
No. I mean, that's putting cart before the horse, thinking that one player's, like, think like, about like the...
Like Yerk said, where's the foundation? Offensive, defensive line aren't good enough.
No, and that should, it has to, be the priority in the draft.
Agreed.
I mean, when you think about the players that will be available to them, and that's why I made such a big deal of them not having a pick between, at the time, still, right now, who knows what they do, but like between 9 and 53, I think that's a big gap where you're going to miss a chunk of really good offensive linemen.
So if he could go back, would he give you back Claypool, or would he keep him?
If Clay, I mean, talk about somebody who has pressure to perform this year, to live up to, A, he wants a new contract eventually, and to prove the Bears right that they pulled off the trade that made sense in last November. I think it's honestly too early to tell, and I know some people are going to say that's a cop-out. We saw somebody who didn't look like they knew what they were doing for the 5, 6, 7 games he was here for. I say wait and see on that, because right now, of course, it looks like absolutely not. They would want that pick at 33, sitting there in the top of the second round and having, you know, a boatload of players available to them.
The world is your oyster.
Yeah. But I think it's still too early. I mean, on paper, and everything right now is on paper until, you know, September. On paper, it looks like a decent receiving core. DJ Moore is a one. He finally has quarterback consistency. Think about the numbers he put up in Carolina with 8 quarterbacks throwing him passes since 2018. It's pretty remarkable. So he gets here, and you can add in Chase Claypool. Darnell Mooney, assuming he comes back healthy, can transition into a role he's probably better suited for as a wide receiver 3. That's not a bad receiving core on paper. Again, like we said the same thing last year, and I think there was some more wishful thinking that, oh, Mooney just came off a 1,000-yard season. He's going to be able to replicate that in that offense.
And he didn't.
No, absolutely not. Okay. And so I like the look of it, but again, the jury's out until they actually do something.
Darnell Mooney wants new paper as well.
I don't think, I mean, if I'm prioritizing extensions, I don't think he gets it yet.
Agreed. He has what, this year?
He was 2020, right? Fifth rounder in 2020.
I believe, yeah.
2020. Yeah, this is technically year 4 for him. This is a contract year.
Right. So he would be eligible for an extension right now.
He is.
Okay. Do you think there is any chance that, and I'm not advocating against or for, I'll tell you my opinion in a second. So he is... Yeah, he's unrestricted after this season. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any chance Ryan Poles goes to the draft and says, this dude wants $15 million a year, which is what I'm hearing? I can't
that
pay him
Mooney that. Wants $15 million a
yes.
year.
Yes. Now, maybe that's not true, but he's not far off.
I mean, that's the going rate if you, but like.
Trade him. Get a draft pick.
Doing it in April.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is somebody, again, you have to follow through the You have to follow through the like the Ryan Poles' process and his strategy. This is someone who wants to build through the draft. That's the backbone of how they built teams in Kansas City when he was there. That's what he's shown us so far. He has a penchant for trading back, which I expect that to happen on day three, maybe twice. I mean, it happened twice last year in the draft, and they flipped, I think, two picks into getting five players. That's a pretty good haul right there. And think about how many of those day three guys ended up playing 16 or more games. They can scout, they can evaluate, but can you flip it the other way into trying to get up the draft board, which is harder to do than most people realize? Not, I think a lot of fans think, oh, you have like fourth and fifth round picks, take all of those and send it up for a two.
Not going to happen.
It's not how it happens. That's not reality. In theory, it's like, oh, you're giving more for one, you know, for one pick, and you should be able to pull something like that off. It's not reality. That's where we can judge just how good he is at doing that and moving up and down, because we've already seen him move back. That's a lot easier than trying to move up to maybe get a wide receiver that could be sitting there in that gap between 9 and 53.
Right. Who's on a rookie deal. Does he say, okay, I want a whatever it is, third, fourth round pick for Darnell Mooney, because I don't want to pay that dude $12 to $18 million, somewhere in that range.
I'm just like, who's trading a third round pick for Darnell Mooney coming off of ankle surgery?
Probably no one. So that's why I said maybe a fourth.
Who's trading a fourth? I mean, he's a young receiver who hasn't hit his prime yet, has 1 year left on this deal, wants the extension. I get that, but he's had one good season, and then, you know, his rookie season and then an injury season last year. Are we so sure that he's going to come back and be the same player? That would be my pause if I'm if I'm another team listening to a trade offer from Ryan Poles.
It's a great point. 312-332-3776. Derek is in Brooklyn. It is a magnificent day here. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Derek, welcome in, Sparkles.
Happy, my brother, what's up? Courtney, how you doing, sweetie?
I'm good, Derek. How are you?
I'm great. Cap, man, listen, I like the way Poles is building the team, but I think he's getting a lot of unfair criticism because of the fact that he hasn't addressed the lines and free agency, offensive and defensive line. Listen, other teams put franchise tags on certain players that he might have been interested in. If there's nobody there that he thinks, you know, is worth overpaying, then don't overpay. And if you want to address it in the draft, you address it in the draft. And I'm optimistic, but I'm not overly optimistic. I'm on your side as far as the record, maybe 7-8 games, you know, for this year coming up. And I think that Chase Claypool trade is going to burn us, man, because we had a good pick in the second round and we gave it up for him, and we could have got a really good player at that pick. That's all I want to say. I'm going to hang up. Listen, you guys have a great weekend. Go Bears. Oh, Dave, man, I need a favor, bro.
Yo.
This guy, man, you know, I'm always waiting for your show to come on, man. This guy out here, ESPN New York, Dave Roxbury, disrespected the Bears this morning, man. They were talking about the Hard Knocks thing, and I guess his producer was giving him the names of the teams that could go on it, and he brought the Bears. Oh, he said, nobody cares about the Bears. You speak to that guy, man. You let him know, man. Bears is
I'll set
everywhere.
Him straight. I'll talk to Danny Zetterman. He's management here. He'll take care of it.
All right. Take care. Have a great week.
You're
guys.
The best. We'll see you, all Derek. Right. All right, there you go. 312-332-3776. So the question is, are you pleased with what Ryan Poles and the Bears have done so far in free agency? 312-332-3776. It is a magnificent day at this radio station that I have been blessed to be at almost 8 years. Courtney and I are teammates, but this station today turns 25 years old, and it's never sounded better, been better. We're going to have a phenomenal day at the House of Blues. There'll be a Mac Yurko and Harry reunion. There'll be Jay Cutler there. There'll be Carmen Yurko, Waddle and Sylvie, and Black and Abdallah. Everybody's going to be out there. So if you're coming, I look forward to seeing you. If you're not, I hope you'll tune in. It is a wonderful celebration of the best sports radio station in the world. We'll be right back.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap'n Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean,
What's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Well, Kirk Cousins for you. There we go around the National Football League. Courtney Cronin's in for Hoodie. She is our NFL guru. Jake, what do you got?
I wanted to start with this. I saw this yesterday. NFL's considering flex scheduling for Thursday night football.
Please.
So, yeah, the league owners will be asked next week's league during next week's league meetings to vote on the additional of a flex scheduling plan for late season Thursday games, according to Sports Business Journal. And then the vote would also increase the number of times each team can play Thursday games after a Sunday game in a season from 1 to 2.
I don't like the Thursday schedule. I don't think ask anybody around the league. No one likes playing on a short week, especially, you know, if you are on thinking of like doubling that now from Sunday to Thursday, you have roughly half a day of prep because Monday is your recovery day. Players have to have a day off in there somewhere based on the CBA.
Tuesday.
And then you're flying out Wednesday. Like you have such a truncated schedule. Actually, during the week on a Thursday schedule, Wednesday becomes their off travel day. I mean, Monday they give them more time off to recover, but like you don't get a good product. How many times have we talked about this?
But you think they're going to dump Thursday night football?
No, they're not going to dump Thursday night football. They sure as heck shouldn't try to increase those the times you see teams playing there. And I know they'd be doing that to fix the product because maybe you could put better teams on Thursday night. I've never liked the game. I've never liked the product. I think that, I mean, in totality of the season, that's where you can tell. Like, it's sometimes make or break because injuries increase. I mean, think about, I brought this up this week, Cam Newton. Remember, like, he just did the Auburn Pro Day?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what's going to come of that? He got hurt on Thursday Night Football against Pittsburgh. I think it was week 6 of the 2016 season. And that was, you know, on a short week, that was the shoulder injury. But I'll always remember that, like, product for things like that, the injuries that come out of that game. And it's just a bad product. 12-7 Washington over Chicago. That's all I have to say, because that's what you get in those moments. If you can make better matchups earlier in the year when they're going through the bidding process with ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC of which games you're going to put on your air, you know, maybe they can get better matchups, but I don't think at all those games should be increased per team going more than once, because you know they're not going to do away with it. They just, you know, Amazon just paid a ton of money for the rights to that.
I don't disagree that you would want better matchups, but when they put Washington and Chicago, what do you expect? Two horrible teams.
I don't disagree.
And they get those two TV markets. Two of the biggest.
Sure. But it's still going to be an awful product.
Don't disagree.
I think regardless
of... We're still going to watch and gamble on it. We have our fantasy teams. Everyone's into it. Jake.
All right, I want to get into this Lamar Jackson thing because it dropped midday yesterday. The NFL memo warns teams that they're prohibited from negotiating with a non-NFLPA certified agent. So the guy's name, in the tweet that I think I saw from Tom Pelissero, the guy's name was Ken Francis, a Florida man. And it had something to do, and it ended up being some to-go gym thing that he was signing with Lamar Jackson. I was so confused with the situation. And I think I saw you tweet about it, Courtney, yesterday, too.
I was confused, too.
Like, what was going on here with Lamar Jackson and this NFL PA certified agent concerns?
So earlier in the week, there was chatter around the NFL that Lamar Jackson, again, we all know he doesn't have an agent.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody on his behalf was reaching out to NFL teams trying to say, hey, he wants
Ken
to move
Spencer.
On. Yeah, he wants to move on from the Ravens. Like, he wants, you know, let's get something going.
What is he, St. Omni's brother? That was another dude
and
like
that's
that.
That's what triggers it for everyone. Is this St. Omni part two? Like, I still think back to...
And St. Omni was another unlicensed agent.
Yes. The NFLPA requires that if you are somebody doing business with front office members, with general managers, with, you know, talking to salary cap people.
You must be a licensed, regulated agent.
Yes. They have rules in place for that, so not everybody's uncle can start trying to negotiate deals with front offices. There's reason for that. And Lamar is technically, and his mother, that's technically his representation. They're the only ones who are allowed to if there are other teams reaching out. Because remember, because he was a franchise player, he was not allowed to officially talk to teams until 4 p.m. Eastern time last Wednesday when the new league year opened. It has to be, I mean, they can initiate contact, any team can, but it can only go to Lamar and his mother. So if this is true, and the NFL sent out the same memo last year in August when St. Omni was calling teams on behalf of Roquan Smith, mm-hmm. and Roquan didn't deny it. I remember like when we asked him the Saturday that he came back to practice and he said, you know, I'm tabling everything. I'm going to focus on the season. Adam Johns of The Athletic in like his most, who's the old guy on 60 Minutes? Like the guy with the white hair. Help me here. Like
Mike Wallace?
Maybe. No. Investigative journalist style. Adam goes like point blank, just who's St. Omni? And it just like felt like one of those, like when you sit down, like murder investigations, like a really point blank, the way he asked it. And it was hilarious because none of us knew who this mythical creature St. Omni was. But mm-hmm. you have to do your digging and your research where there's a group of people who have been known in NFL circles to represent or claim to represent players who do not have NFLPA certified agents. St. Omni, I believe, represented Charles Cross, the rookie, former rookie offensive lineman with the Seattle Seahawks when he signed his deal. It's not a crime to not have an agent. It just makes your life a lot easier. And frankly, players who say they don't have agents, like Lamar Jackson, you're still getting advice and advising. I mean, the NFLPA advises to a degree.
Why would you not just go to Tom Condon, Mark Bartlestein?
A lot of it, from like, what I understand, is principle at this point. Like, one prominent agent I talked to during this whole process said that, you know, a lot of guys see this as, I don't want to give you 3% of my salary. Well, you're still cutting somebody a check. Like, I mean, if you helped somebody negotiate a massive contract, like Lamar Jackson very well could have if he had an NFLPA certified agent, I'm not saying that that's like the end all be all, but it certainly makes your job a lot easier. And to have somebody to go to the combine, like by February 1st, if he knew he wasn't getting the deal done with Baltimore, which he knew, he should have hired somebody right then. That's my opinion on it, because you have somebody going to the combine advocating for you. Somebody going to sit in with general managers, assistant GMs, front office people in Indianapolis when all of this business is going down, when people are trying to sort out the market. You have somebody advocating on your behalf. He wasn't going to go there and do that himself.
No chance.
But this is just hilarious, because the way that this thing was phrased, where, you know, the Florida man declaration and all of this just makes it 10 times wilder. And then Lamar tweeting that it's not true, and then actually tweeting a link to the video that he and his business partner is named Ken Francis. Like the object that they're selling, this home gym thing. It was amazing. He tweeted it like after the fact. It was pretty great.
It's pretty crazy. Are you talking about Andy Rooney, Morley Safer? Bob Schieffer, there's a number of gray-haired people that have been consultants or correspondents on 60
I gotta
Minutes.
Figure this out, because I just remember John's pulled like his best impersonation. Like, we're all asking questions, you know, to Roquan, and he just dives in and says, who's St. Omni? Like, it was such a such a mic drop moment, and it's one of my favorite moments from the 2022 season covering the Bears.
Pretty good. Let's get another one in.
Ezekiel Elliott narrowed down to three teams. Thank God the Bears aren't one of them. It's the Eagles, the Bengals, and the Jets. Which team suits his talents now? Who will he be feeding with next?
I think he's going to be with the Jets. Breece Hall right now has the ACL tear that he's recovering from, and hopefully he's on schedule to come back on time. But despite the fact that we saw the fewest yards from scrimmage for Zeke last year, I think he's still 27, 28 years old. There's still tread on the tires, so it's a safe bet because you won't be having to overpay for him to get him with the Jets. You surround Aaron Rodgers with a strong run game, make it similar in a way.
And they lead for OBJ, reportedly.
Yeah. You have a great receiving core.
And they just picked up McCole Hardman and traded Elijah Moore.
Mm-hmm. Finally. They finally granted the trade request because it made the most sense at the time for them to do it now.
So they gave a third-round pick and Elijah Moore to get a second.
Yes. And so those 2 seconds are what could very well be part of the package for Aaron Rodgers, because they don't want to give up 13. And I can't blame them.
Correct.
Because you're going to be taking on $60 million of his salary anyways. You're doing Green Bay a favor by getting him off your books. So the Zeke news to the Jets, I think it's very plausible that something like that happens to fortify the backfield.
That Jets team, man, I bet them at 28-1.
There's
now
your
it's down
Super Bowl
to 14.
Pick. Okay, your Super Bowl pick was Lions Jets. Who did you have actually winning the Super Bowl? Did you pick that yet?
I didn't. I did bet a ticket on the Jets. They were 28-1 way before the Rodgers press or McAfee show.
Sure.
And my brother and I are talking. We're like, he's going there. 100%. All right, let's bet it. 28-1. The next day, it dropped to 16. Now it's down to 14-1. So, took a
Smart
shot.
Smart odds.
Took a shot. The value, as Tom Waddell teaches, value. Look for value, young man. So that's what we did. All right, Jesse Rogers, our baseball insider, has a brand new story out on Cody Bellinger. He's been covering the Cubs and the White Sox and more. We'll talk baseball with Jesse next.
Here's today's headline. Headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Blackhawks fall to the Capitals 6-1 last night. Hawks have lost three in a row. They're 24-41-6 on the season. What's it been? A decade since they made the playoffs? Not quite. I think 2016 was the last time they made it. Not good. Bulls begin their West Coast road trip tonight against the Blazers. 9 p.m. is your tip-off. Sweet 16 began last night. K-State over Michigan State in an overtime thriller, 98-93. UConn blew out Arkansas, 88-65. Florida Atlantic came from behind in the second half, beat Tennessee, 62-55. And Gonzaga, a thriller at the end, 79-76 over number two, UCLA. The NFL sends memo prohibiting teams talking to Lamar Jackson's representative. And today is the 25th anniversary of this amazing radio station. Big party at the House of Blues. Celebrities aplenty going to be there, including the great Eddie Olczyk and Jay Cutler, Sarah Spain, and many more.
Good morning. Glad you're along for the Cap'n Jay Hood experience. We're here weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
Hello.
Chicago.
Good morning.
Rolling on. On Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000, Courtney Cronin in for Hoodie, who is enjoying some time off as we gear up for baseball. And today, our big 25th anniversary. And one of our teammates is the awesome Jesse Rogers, who has a brand new article that I just consumed between the last few breaks. It dropped this morning. It is Cubs Cody Bellinger looking to play like an MVP again. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning. Happy 25 to both of you. Great to be with you guys.
You too, buddy. So, Cody Bellinger, we can start right there. You have a brand new article on ESPN.com. Does Cody Bellinger look like he is resuming his form of his great days in L.A.?
Not quite yet. And that's probably the biggest takeaway I could tell Cub fans. I'm sure they're not going to be thrilled with it. This is just the beginning of a process. Spring training was kind of the beginning of it. Now, they started before spring training. I will say Cody Bellinger and new Cubs hitting coach Dustin Kelly got together before spring training. They're sort of putting together the plan that they decided on back in January, early February. But it's a work in progress. You do not fix someone overnight. And, of course, spring training in a normal season, you can't necessarily know exactly what you're looking like at the end of it because pitchers are working on things themselves. It's not real games, but he is moving forward. I will say that after talking to scouts, some say his timing's off. Some say the swing is a little off, but they like the direction he's going. The end result might just not be seen on March 30th. And again, you know, I don't know if the Cubs can afford to give him 200, 300 bats to stay in the race. And then maybe he clicks in midseason if he's going to struggle early. So the sooner the better. He's on the right path. But it's not going to be a finished product next Thursday. And I do worry, and I've said this even before they signed him, about a guy like him, even a guy like Dansby Swanson, early on hitting in this weather. It's supposed to be like 40 and snow next Thursday. We'll see if they play. But guys that are used to the warm weather and then additionally revamping their swing like Bellinger is doing, there's a lot going into it. So I don't know if you can expect a great April or May, but I do think he's on the right path. Hopefully it's sooner rather than later.
Do you sense a sense of urgency from Bellinger to get this thing right quickly? I mean, just knowing the contract, knowing that this is more or less a prove-it year for him and who they have waiting in the wings at center field, does he view this as, I've got to get this ship righted immediately?
Yes. The answer is yes to that. He knows it's a pillow contract. He knows it's a one-year rebuild my career thing. And so the answer is yes. Now, the good news in talking to the hitting coach, Dustin Kelly, is he thinks he's in a good place mentally because he's not seeing someone that's really fidgety at the plate, like trying to do too much. Now, once the season starts, maybe it'll be different. But right now he sees a guy that's calm, letting the ball come to him, letting his swing do the damage because he does have power when he's on. And remember, without the shift, you don't have to try to do too much, right? You're going to get your base hits. And that's one thing I hope in April we see out of him, just a calm swing. You know, wind blowing in, take your singles and maybe your gappers. Don't necessarily try to jack it out of the park. Sort of the bad news is a lot of this does remind me of Jason Hayward, where you had a guy that can hit home runs, that looks like he's got a home run swing, but loses power through the hitting zone. And a ball you think is going to hit out, I saw one 2 days ago at spring training, you know, lands in a center fielder's glove near the warning track because it wasn't hit as hard as it looked. This is a problem Hayward had. It looks like Bellinger in similar manner, the exit velo on a lot of his balls, Courtney, much lower than his MVP season. And the other concern is, you know, he did have injuries in 20 and 21 especially, but not really last year. And he said a lot of the same things he's saying now he said last year at spring training, and it didn't materialize. But back to your question, yes, I think he does sense the urgency.
Okay, so he wins MVP in 2019, and then I mean, he falls off a cliff in terms of batting average alone, like the last three seasons.
Horrible.
It couldn't have gone worse. Has he had time now that he's like with a new franchise to dissect outside of the injuries, outside of exit velocity, like everything else that might have led to that, and how he really realistically thinks he can fix that here?
Yeah, I mean, they started over, so let's go with that. New change of scenery, new voices, starting over. That can work, and you know, sometimes it can't work. Like, I think he definitely needed to get out of the Dodgers system. You're right, the three-year batting average was .203, the lowest in a three-year stretch for an MVP after winning that award. So this is kind of an historic fall for him. Not exactly sure. Okay, the shoulder injury was the big news, right? He was celebrating the 2020 Game 7 home run, dislocated his shoulder. But that was 3 years ago, right? In 21, he had a fracture in his left foot running to first base. And it looked like he changed his stance a little bit coming back from that. So combine that with the shoulder, and all of a sudden he's developing bad habits. So that's the best answer I can give. No one could say for sure, not even him, but some bad habits were developed. So it's not only the exit velo, by the way. His strikeout rate went way up. So now he's not even hitting balls that he used to. He's starting to chase a little bit. So it's all these things combined. And what him and Dustin Kelly did was just simply go back to the drawing board. They did a lot of things without a bat in the offseason, used the medicine ball, I write in the story, and just were trying to get the movement back to what he was. Dustin Kelly told me they're kind of looking back, but they don't want to completely look back because it's a guy from 4 years ago. You know, you're older, your strengths are different, you know, your whatever, your muscle's different. So they don't want to completely try to repeat what he did back then. But I think that'd be a good starting point. And I think Bellinger wouldn't mind looking at that and trying to repeat it, just whether he can or not.
Jesse, let's talk about the White Sox. This is a team that last year, many, me included, thought could win the World Series. It was an awful season from start to finish. They have spun the narrative that Pedro Grifol is going to make all the difference in the world. Do you believe that, having watched them, that this team is ready to take the next step?
I will say this. I think Pedro Grifol is going to make a big difference. Can it close the gap on the Guardians, and even the Twins are going to be in the mix as well? I don't know. I don't know if they're deep enough to do it. If the front, it's the same old thing. If the frontline players are healthy and performing like they can, we think they can, at least on paper. I mean, Makata has had good seasons. Now, Luis Robert has never reached his potential, mostly because of injuries. If any of these things happen, the answer is yes. I liked what Lance Lidd did in the WBC. He looked good. Cease is starting to come together. You know, they have that loss of Liam Hendricks, which is going to be tough on the bullpen. But look, on paper, they should at least be in the mix. I don't know if they're World Series contenders or even division winners. But back to meaningful games in September where they're above 500, I think that is absolutely a real possibility. I mentioned early on a few weeks ago that I thought the WBC would be good for Tim Anderson. Let's see when he comes, now that he's back, what he and Elvis Andrews can do up the middle. I think it's better than what I thought it would be a month or two ago with Andrews changing positions, Cap. I'd say I'm more positive than negative. I've kind of been on that bandwagon for a couple weeks now, but always around the corner. You worry about an injury. We saw Eloy leave a game. Looks like he's okay. Mankata had an issue at the end of the WBC. Looks like he's okay. But is it just okay until the next issue, or are they really going to put together a whole season of good health and good at-bats? It's all about that. I mean, it's too bad they don't have more depth and didn't spend a little bit more money on it. But at least the frontline players, when healthy, I think can return to some prominence.
So outside of Dylan Cease, who do you rely on in that starting rotation if you're the White Sox?
Well, Lucas Giolito is in contract mode, right? And I think he's looked decent in spring training. Hasn't had a ton of innings, but I think he's looked decent. If healthy, look, Kopech was on the mound yesterday, didn't have the best outing, but he's healthy, coming back from a knee injury, and the stuff looks pretty good. You can't just go off of spring training. So you know the top five. We're unsure of exactly what Clevenger is going to look like. Mixed reviews so far in spring for him as well. But I don't see any reason why a couple of those guys like Giolito can't bounce back. Remember, he put on a ton of weight last year, had a bad season, lost the weight. We'll see if he returns. It's the same old thing with the White Sox. The names on paper in that starting staff, Courtney, are pretty good. Even Clevenger as a five, can be pretty good. Let's see if it translates next month. But I'm especially interested in Giolito. He needs the bounce back year more than anyone.
Let me ask you before we let you go. Looking at a guy like Giolito, I know he's in your top 100 list that you compiled for ESPN. I'm not going to ask you about Bryce Harper, by the way.
I got hammered on that.
Oh, my God. Carmen and I were killing you yesterday.
Well, I didn't choose the ranking. I just was given the ranking, and I had to write something up. So I want to make that clear to everybody listening.
Okay, so Lucas Giolito, is he truly a top 100 player in Major League Baseball?
You know, they even debated Luis Robert, and he came in, I think, at 98. I'm like, well, again, it's on paper for both those guys. Yeah, I get some of those. You know, again, I didn't choose the rankings, but I probably would not have put him myself in the top 100 last year. Now, it is about going into this season, so the people that put together that list must think that he's going to have a rebound year, because it was just a little while ago that he had a really good season in 21, and even in 20 he had fixed himself a little bit. So it is about 23, those rankings, but no, at this moment, coming off last year, he's not. Can he get back there? I think he can. I mean, remember, at his best, his stuff is really good. So it's really about looking forward when you talk about, you know, who's going to be good in 23 and projecting it. And apparently people at ESPN that believe in Lucas Giolito. I think he's somewhere probably in between last year and his best year. I think he's a solid 3+ ERA, not necessarily a Cy Young contender, but someone that can have a much lower ERA than he had last year, which was 4.5.
Jesse, have a great rest of your day, man. Baseball is back on Thursday. You know what the next big milestone is, right?
Tell me.
All-star break when we go to Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're going to get a bigger group. Courtney's going to come up there, I assume.
She's invited. 100%.
Only if she wants to be grossed out by Chuck Garfine taking off his shirt. But other than that.
Oh, my God.
Other than that, it was a good time.
Yeah, we had a great time. Have a great day.
I'll see you over at the House of Blues.
We look forward to it.
See you, Jesse.
See you,
Jesse. Bye, Courtney.
See there you. It is. Jesse Rogers on the CarX Auto and Tire Hotline. I have no idea where Hoodie plays that sounder, so I will not.
I think he's the only one who hits it every time.
He does. And I've been looking for it while we were talking to Jesse. And I have no idea.
Carmen doesn't hit it. Like, every time I wait, there it is.
I don't have it. Clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the car accident. I just think he likes hearing it because it's catchy.
He does like hearing it. Anyway, we will come back and talk about White Sox and Cubs unveiling new food and drink options. There's a small Cheval at Wrigley, and the White Sox have awesome, awesome food at their ballpark. We'll talk about all that next.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
An awesome day here at the radio station. It is our 25th anniversary as ESPN 1000. Courtney and I will be there for the big party today. Mac Yurko and Harry reunion. Waddle and Sylvie, Carmen and Yurko, Black and Abdallah, all our teammates, so many of our great partners. The whole station's going to be there at the House of Blues. It's going to be a lot of fun. You also have TV responsibilities today.
I do. I've got Around the Horn after this, so we're going to talk a lot of March Madness, I assume.
Do you like doing that?
I do. I love it. And just when I get the rundown every day, I know it's going to hit on so many different things, which is great because it's radio on TV, more or less.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my TV show, when I was doing it, was radio on TV.
Exactly, except I need to be a little bit more... Yeah.
Keep your beak out of this.
Let's see if I can fit that in again today. Or, see, if Hoodie was here, he'd make me come up with something.
So I was going to tell you, let's leave the beak to the side because that was a Hoodie thing.
Okay.
I want take that.
That was in the mix. We ran more or less a straw poll when you were gone, when I was hosting after the Super Bowl with Jonathan. We had a couple different things. I failed on Monday. Yep. He didn't let me hear the end of it because I didn't say Tordall, talking about what I think was, you know, injected into Patrick Mahomes, even though he said, you know, the power of Christ helped him get back up on the field, whatever. Okay. So I failed then. He didn't let me hear the end of it. So the next time I was on that week, I think it was after Wednesday's show that I did here, I was like, I remember like sitting there thinking, God, I got to fit something in. I really have to like, I'm A blocks over. Like, I really need to get something in buy or sell. Otherwise, I'm going to not hear the end of this. And so we were talking about Jim Mersey and the tweet that he put out of himself riding a bear at Lincoln Park Zoo and saying, I've had a great relationship with the Chicago Bears for 60 years. And the question was, what does this mean to, you know, for Bryce Young, for the Colts, for the Houston Texans? And I was like, this is a perfect place to fit in, keep your beak out of it, because that's what the Houston Texans were more or less wanting to tell Jim Irsay at the time.
Keep your beak out of it.
Yeah. Stop trying to drive up the price for us to go buy our pick back. And fortunately, things changed. But that was an on-the-fly moment that was not planned. And I remember sending the devil emoji, a little purple devil emoji, in the group chat to Shay, Jay Moore, and Hoodie afterwards, and just wait on it. So I was very happy of my performance that day.
Take that today. You should be. You make a good point. You go take that.
See, that's an easier one to fit in.
Yes.
And Frank Isola is filling in for Tony.
Love Frank.
Love Frank. Just like New York through and through. And so he's filling in for Tony, so maybe I can get that through.
And you should throw a 25 in there, too, for the anniversary. So, hey, 25, 25.
If I win today, my FaceTime will be the anniversary. We'll be ESPN 1000.
There you go.
So we'll see.
But, yeah, you got to drop the take that. So the next time we're together.
It'll get in there at some point.
Yeah.
Like, Jonathan got his, you will get yours at some point.
Appreciate
that. Represent the station.
So I guess there's new food options at the White Sox and at the Cubs.
I think every team in Major League Baseball announced it this week, because we had one on Around the Horn yesterday talking about the Mets food options, which were grotesque in nature. I have not actually parsed through all of the Cubs and Sox ones, except for seeing that Small Cheval is going to be at Wrigley Field. Is
correct.
That right?
Small Cheval will be at Wrigley. I'm a huge Au Cheval burger guy. The White Sox are doing at Guaranteed Rate Field. I think it's really cool. More than 75 craft beers from 50 breweries, of which more than half are headquartered in the Chicagoland area. So you're going to have six new breweries making their debut in line at Kugel's Craft Lodge. Funky Town Brewery, Magner's Irish Cider, Obscurity Brewing, On Tour Brewing Company, Pilot Project, and Voodoo Brewing. And there's some really cool items you could pair with these beers. My wife and my son, Garrett, are beer, and Brett, are beer snobs. Like, just give me a Bud Light. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
That's how I am at a ball game, but I don't fault the people who want the craft beer experience
at a
ballpark.
They want the craft beers. And my wife said, hon, you see the beers they're going to have at the White Sox game? That is awesome. So
Where is this beer lounge?
You know, that's a great question. Text me, Brooks Boyer, please. I don't know exactly where it is, but it's at the ballpark, and it is something that's wildly popular. And they've got some really amazing, like I'm looking at this pulled pork sandwich that they've got. Holy smokes, does that look good. Yeah, they've got some, let's see, they've got a pan-seared pierogies with sausage on top of it. Looks amazing.
Looks amazing. Doesn't sound like a ballpark food.
Colossal potato wedges that look in-freaking-credible. Unbelievably look good. And then a manganata, a drink, in a White Sox glass that looks sick. Looks really, really good. The Belgian banger, half-pound spicy Polish sausage on a Bavarian pretzel bun, completed with sweet orange caramelized onions, red cabbage slaw, and topped with crispy chopped bacon bits on the Blue Moon balcony. The Miller High Life Sky Lounge has a half-pound Vienna beef footlong dog served on a brioche bun top with champagne, Vidalia relish, and habanero mustard. Sounds really good.
It sounds great. I don't know if I'd go to a ball. I mean, but granted, I'm not your traditional ballpark goer. Like, or I'm more of the traditional than like wanting. And I experienced this when I covered the Giants out in San Francisco. They had more eclectic food items than you know what to do with, like sushi burritos and all of that out in the outfield. And I just remember sampling them when we went through this whole thing, thinking this is awesome food. I don't know that I'd come to a ball game in the middle of July when it's hot out wanting a sushi burrito.
How about the Greek fries? My wife is Greek. Loaded fries with tender gyro meat,
ripe
tomatoes, Kalamata olives, red onions, pepperoncini, and a creamy feta sauce.
It's a gyro in fry form.
Yes.
That sounds great.
That sounds delicious.
That sounds like ballpark food.
And then, as we said, the Cubs have added the small Cheval dining experience for what I think is the best burger in the city, perhaps. So, yeah, really, really good stuff at both ballparks this summer.
That's
should be
exciting.
Fun. All right, we have got to take a quick time out. We're going to come back. Courtney and I had gotten into this discussion about the Bears. I want to ask her what she's expecting next season. Is she expecting another year? Or as many? Can this team actually get to 9 or 10 wins? Back in 2 minutes.